In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Very quick reflection today on what we do with the gifts we're given. Now, we are undeniably given gifts, all of us. And that's because God is a fair God, is a just God, and He wants the good of all humanity, and He can't ascertain the good of all humanity if we're not all involved in what He wants us to do. If we're not all involved in His plan, and if we're not all involved in His vision. Of course, He can do it single-handedly, without a doubt. And He doesn't need us. But He can't do it because He will not force anything onto us. He won't force even salvation. He won't force even what is good for us, because He respects far too much what He has given us in the sense of freedom. Even when it comes to 1 Corinthians 6:19, asking us, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" So we're not our own. We don't have entitlement over ourselves, because God has given us everything. But He gives us freedom over that. It's a grace from Him. It's a gift. And we need to know how we're going to use that. We need to be very careful how we use it, how we come to terms with it, and the importance. We often underestimate the importance of our presence in the world. We think that our presence is just whatever it is. It's, you know, we're here to fill a space. We're here because there's nothing else for us to do. And I think it's important for us to realize that we're here with a mission. We're here because God wants us to do something. The fact that we are the temple of God, He abides in us, means that He has a plan for every moment of our lives. We shouldn't waste a moment. We shouldn't waste a thing we do. And we're reminded in 2 Corinthians 5:15, saying, "And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." So yes, we're living, but we should not live just for ourselves. We live for Him. We live for Him. How does that make sense? Because when we live for Him, then we are living to fulfill His desire for the world. We're living to fulfill His plan. Because God is not a selfish God. We're not talking about a pagan God when you say we live for Him and so therefore we sacrifice to Him as self-serving, self-satisfying, only cares about what He wants. That's a pagan understanding of God, where you offer sacrifices to that God because He wants them. Whereas our understanding within Christianity is we're offering ourselves to God, not because He needs it or He wants it, but because it then becomes part of the wider understanding of His mission. So if you imagine, let's say, a flame. And then if I've got one flame, then Mira brings a candle and puts it to it, and then every one of you does the same, that flame becomes bigger. The flame is a flame already. It's there. What God wants us to do in coming together is to live for Him by bringing ourselves into that same flame and making it bigger for the world. That light in the world. That presence in the world that can only come from Him. St. John Chrysostom said this: "Do you think that the man-loving God has given you much so that you could use it only for your own benefit? No, but so that you can, so that your abundance might supply the lack of others. I'll explain that again. He says this: do you think that the man loving God, God who loves humanity, do you think that God who loves humanity has given you your gifts just for yourself? And he says, no. He has given you this that out of your abundance you might supply the lack of others. Because none of us has an abundance of everything. So what happens is, I may have an abundance of one thing, of one gift, and Bishoy another, and Robert another. And so whatever is left over from me goes to them, what goes left from them goes to me, and so on and so forth with all of us. Because while we all have a lack, and many of us will look at the lack we have, and we indeed have a lack, but we don't understand that at the same time we have an abundance. We tend to focus on the lack that we experience. We tend to focus on what we don't have. And we are quite persistent to only look at what we don't have. We become angry, we become resentful, we become jealous, we become covetous, because we want what we don't have. But we don't give enough consideration to the abundance we have. And the abundance we have is supposed to help others as well. It's quite a complex map we have, because we do things for God, because then through that He empowers others. But also when we do things for others, we are giving to God. And that's exactly what He says to us in Matthew 25. The whole concept of what we do for others, we do for God. 25:45. Then He will answer, saying to them, assuredly I say to you, and as much as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. So if we withhold doing what we can for others, we're withholding doing what we can for God. Through the incarnation, through salvation, through God's love for us, through all of that, there is almost an inseparable relationship. You can't separate one from the other. So, you know, when you look at your parents as you were growing up, if someone came and sort of bothered you at school or something, they would take it as a personal attack. And that's why parents jump in to protect their children. Or at an older age, if you're with your parents and someone insults a parent or attacks them, it's inseparable, because you feel like you have an obligation and a duty to protect them. So there is that inseparable relationship now between us and God, that now that we have been adopted, now that we're His children, whatever we do for each other, we do for Him. Whatever do we do for Him, we do for each other. And so we are always interconnected and linked. There's also an interesting side to giving of ourselves, and that's this. Proverbs 11:25. The generous soul will be made rich. But surely if you're generous, you're giving of yourself, so you're depleting. So if you're generous with your money, you keep pulling things out of your pocket and giving to people, you have less money. But actually the concept of Christianity is this: the more you give, the more you receive. The generous soul will be made rich. And this is really beautiful, the second half of it, which says, and he who waters will also be watered himself. He who waters will also be watered himself. He who provides will receive in the same measure, in the same way. So, I'm not saying this should be the reason we do it, but this is a result of what we do. I'm not saying we should give because we're going to receive, because our Lord warned us that even tax collectors do the same. Even the unrighteous do the same when they give so that they may receive in return. But what we need to do is to understand that God is such a generous and gracious God. When we give of ourselves, we by definition receive. By His grace, by His mercy, by His love, we receive. Another concept of giving is this. We have nothing to give of ourselves. Everything we have is from God. And that's why in John 3:27 we read, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven." Anything we do, whether it's our gifts, whether it's our abilities, whether it's our talents, whether it's our money, whether it's our material wealth, anything we give, we receive from heaven. We receive from God. If you think of even your material wealth, you have your material wealth because you've studied, you've worked, you've invested, you've done something, you've used your gifts that God has given you, and those gifts have translated into material wealth. If you're bestowing love on people, that's from God. Affection. If you're bestowing your knowledge on people, that's from God. So when we really think about it, everything we have is from Him. And when we think that way, it'll allow us to give generously because we realize we have generously received. We've abundantly received. And so therefore, we must also give. The great thing about God as well is that the more we give, the more we receive, because God doesn't have a budget to present at the end of the year. God doesn't have a black and red in His account books. God has an abundance of everything. He doesn't need to think, "I can only give you a little bit and give you a little bit because I don't have enough to go around." God gives us abundance of everything because He has an abundance of everything. And that's why we read in 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." So let's break that down. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. He's able to give you all grace. What's a grace? A grace is an undeserved gift. So He's able to give us all of those things, undeserved. "That you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance," but it doesn't stop there. You know, if it says, "having all sufficiency in all things, that you may have an abundance," that's great, because God wants to have us to have big bank accounts and big houses and big stores of money and big stores of everything. But why is He giving us abundance? "That you may have an abundance for every good work." So the abundance we have is for good work. It's not to store in ourselves and to hide away. We're not squirrels. We're not sort of gathering nuts for the winter. We're not hoarding things. God gives us an abundance so we can share the abundance in our good works. God gives us things so we can give of them. And those things, and believe me, materially is the least you talk about. But those things are ourselves, our attention, our love, our mercy, our interest in people, our forgiveness, all of those things. God gives us that in abundance so we can give it to others. And this brings me to an interesting reflection I had recently, which to me made a lot of sense. When our Lord was on the cross, and He said lovingly and graciously, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do," He was bestowing that forgiveness immediately on the people around Him, but also on the whole world. And so in giving us that forgiveness, He has given us that in abundance so we can give it to others. That's why there is never a limit into how much we can forgive others. Never. Even 70 times 7. There is never a limit to that forgiveness. Likewise, when our Lord bestowed the Holy Spirit upon the disciples, He gave them the Holy Spirit so they could then give it to others. When He gave us life in His resurrection, He gave us that life so we in turn could communicate that to others, and so on and so forth. Everything God gives us is given for us and is given for our lives in Him. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. What we like to do is we like to sow very, very precisely and then gather generously. So I'll give people a little bit of my time, a little bit of my attention. I'll give people a little bit of my affection, a little bit of my forgiveness and love. But I want a lot from them. I want them to forgive me everything. I want them to bestow all gifts on me. I want them to be infinitely patient. I want them to be infinitely forgiving. So I sow very, very strategically, but I want to reap generously, which doesn't work. I want to give people as little of my time as I can because I'm busy, but the minute I need, I want to be given abundantly. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. Because what we plant, we actually reap. What we give, we receive. So I just wanted to share that with you very generally, because I feel that God gives us a lot. God shares with us abundantly, infinitely. And He gives us so we can give to each other. It's no good for me to receive a gift and keep it to myself. When you're asked to do something, figure out what it is you can do and then do it. When you feel that you have a gift, even if you haven't been asked to do something, give of it. Give of it. Give people a taste of the sweetness you're experiencing, you're tasting. Give people an experience of the power that you feel and you want to share with them. And give people the ability to receive from you so that they in turn, out of the abundance they receive from you, which you receive from God, can also give to others. Because then that cascading effect of one from God giving to some, giving to many, giving to all, continues in our Christian life as light and salt in the world and as His conduit to the abundance of gifts that He gives us that are also meant for the world. And glory be to God for it. Amen.